listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Sterling.
And I am Paul Strolley.
And we are powered by Breakdown Services.
And this is State of the Arts. We're delighted to be here. We're very excited. This is our inaugural show. It's our first one, and I'm really glad, Michael, there's not like a webcam in here that can really show what I look like, because I couldn't be more uncomfortable at this console if it were covered in silverfish. I think I'm just like so unnerved by this. And I thought I was sort of a techno geek, but apparently I'm not.
Well, you know, I mean, we're both good-looking men. We have to admit that, right? I mean,
Well, you're half right.
Well, the folks can look at the photograph, you know, on the LA Talk Radio.com website and see that you know, we're the real deal.
We are. The photograph taken by Michael Callis and happily shot through a mattress on our behalf. And gotta love airbrushing, I tell you.
Thank God for airbrushing.
Yeah, do me a favor.
Yes.
Do the airbrushing and give me a chin, if you would. I would appreciate that.
We'll give you two if you want, Paul.
Well, Michael, I know I speak for you when I say that we're very, very excited about presenting this show on LATalkRadio.com for something that we really feel needs a voice, which is namely arts in Los Angeles.
Absolutely, which is the very reason that we created this show, as you know, Paul. And we're so excited that LATalkRadio.com welcomed us here in their amazing lineup of varying programming, which is, of course, living now on the internet. It is the choice of broadcasters, as it were.
You know, it feels like the beginning days of television, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, just the way that it is and the way people are embracing it. And if you go to the site, which obviously, if you're listening to us, you're there in some way, shape, or form. LATalkRadio.com, the number of formats that they have, the different people that they have is really amazing. I mean, it's everything from, you know, there's like late night taboo topics, there's this barbecue show, there's some politically driven stuff, and it's really, really very, very interesting.
It's extraordinary. And the, you know, when you Google LATalkRadio.com, it's the first site that comes up on a Google look for talk radio.
Really? It's a number one hit for talk radio?
It's the number one hit.
Wow.
So we're so happy to be here, and we thank you, Sam Hassan, for welcoming us to your network. And we are thrilled for many months, several years perhaps to come.
And we also want to thank Breakdown Services, which is our presenting sponsor. For those of you who don't know Breakdown Services, it's the communications network and casting system that provides the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. Every actor knows Breakdown Services. They have offices in L.A., New York, Vancouver, and they maintain affiliate relationships with sister companies in Toronto, London, Sydney, and with clients in most regions of the USA and provinces of Canada. Breakdown Services extends through North America. So we're very, very grateful to have such a distinguishing sponsor.
Absolutely. And we're going to bring you some special programming in the weeks to come.
Yeah, we're thinking about something called The Working Actor, which show the different tools that Breakdown offers to help actors get cast. I don't know of one company that has done more to help employ actors than Breakdown Services.
Absolutely, they do help. And, you know, what we're trying to do here is also help. And again, back to the reason why we created this, to give coverage to the performing arts and make sure that the arts lives on from one generation to another. You know, people need to take their children out to the arts and make sure that they're acquainted with the classic arts and the newer art forms that are out there in music and dance and the theater, certainly, and musical theater. And the only way that we can do that is by keeping it alive.
Yeah.
And in radio in this country, there's very little support to the arts.
Well, there's that, and there's also the fact that there's such a glut of reality dreck television that keeps people home that, you know, and Michael, you and I talked about this before, getting people out to live theater is a challenge anyway. But getting them out to live theater in L.A., where you don't have the New York, let's grab a cab thing, we'll meet at this restaurant or that, you got to drive everywhere. getting people out of their homes after dinner in Los Angeles is truly one of God's great mysteries, I think.
I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, one of the other things, too, Paul, that I think it's important that our listeners find out and realize this is something that, that is passionate on both of our parts, is that to give back a little bit to the community of the performing arts. And then by doing so, we have elected for all sponsorships coming on board with State of the Arts to give a percentage of those sponsorships to two organizations that we have selected, and the sponsors themselves will actually direct us as to where they would like that percentage to go.
Michael's absolutely right, and those two sponsors, we have, not sponsors, but those two groups that will benefit from any sponsorship monies that we get, are the LA Stage Alliance is one of them, and LA Stage Alliance, you know, for the longest time I thought it was just a great place to get inexpensive tickets, but it actually, their reach is really astounding with what they do. They're a nonprofit organization dedicated to building awareness, appreciation, and support for the performing arts in greater LA through community building, collaborative marketing, audience development, professional development, to strengthen operations for members and advocacy. And this is something I didn't know, Michael. I don't know if you were aware of this, but LA Stage Alliance serves over 325 organizational members, professional, educational, yes, community-based in the counties of LA, Orange County, Riverside, San Bernardino, Santa Barbara, Ventura. It really is amazing how much they accomplish. And please check them out at lastagealliance.org. That's absolutely just one of our sponsors.
And we also have Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, which was founded in October 1987 by the Council of Actors Equity Association. And the money, Paul, raised through the efforts of equity theater companies across the country was specifically earmarked for the Actors Fund AIDS Initiative. Broadway Cares, on the other hand, was founded in February 1988 by members of the Producers Group in New York. Money raised was earmarked to be awarded to AIDS service organizations across the country, including Equity Fights AIDS. Then in May of 1992, Equity Fights AIDS and Broadway Cares merged to become Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. The board of trustees of this newly established or then newly established organization, not for profit, of course, assumed the missions of the previously separate Actors Fund and to award grants twice a year to AIDS services and AIDS organizations nationwide. So unlike most other nonprofit grant-making organizations, Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS must raise every single dollar of their philanthropic budget every year in order to fulfill their mission. And they work very, very hard.
And I tell you, Michael, no, I know from what you speak, because as a managing director of a nonprofit theater company, I know what it is to try to get those dollars, and it is no small task.
Absolutely. And we have the pleasure of looking forward to having Executive Director Tom Viola from Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS on our program later this month on June 28th, and also the Tony Awards is making a special Tony Award for him on June 13th.
Oh, just on his behalf?
Yes, for his work in this area, which is astounding. So we are thrilled for that organization and thrilled for Tom.
That's great. That is just, so those are the two, the Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS and also the LA Stage Alliance are the two groups that will benefit from our sponsorships.
Absolutely.
On the show. We're very happy to support them.
And you know, Paul, I think it's fitting that this being our first program that we should let those people out there listening to us know a little bit about ourselves.
Oh, okay. My name's Paul. I'm a Pisces. I like yogurt and bondage. And my turnoffs are people that don't use coasters. That's your turn. Go ahead.
There you go. How can I top that?
There you go.
Well, let me ask you something. You're a fine actor. You're a genuinely funny man. You are also the managing director of one of Los Angeles's most innovative and forward-thinking...
You'll notice I'm not interrupting you.
I noticed that. Theater companies called Sea Glass Theater. Tell us about that.
Sea Glass Theater is a nonprofit theater company. Sea Glass, like glass of milk, Sea Glass Theater, and it's the affected British spelling with the R-E on theater. SeaGlassTheater.org is our website. And yes, I'm managing director of a great, great group of people, not of them, more with them, along with artistic director Kimberly Van Leeuwen. And we're working on our third production. Our first was a co-production with a group called DIY Project, an award-winning play called How Sissy Grew, featuring James Denton from
James
television's
Denton,
Desperate
course.
Housewives. And his lovely and talented wife, Erin O'Connor. Did I say Erin O'Connor? Erin O'Brien.
You said Erin O'Connor.
Okay, Erin O'Brien.
There you go.
Erin O'Connor is someone I dated in college. It's another story.
So, Erin, if you're out there listening...
Erin, I've always loved you. No, sorry. Erin O'Brien. And so that was our first production. And then last year we had a wonderful, wonderful success with a play called Wonder of the World by Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright David Lindsay Hebert. And we had a great time with that. We extended that, and that was a big, big hit. We got Ovation recommendation on that, and hopefully when the Ovation Awards come up, we'll hear more, but we have our fingers crossed about that. And this fall, we have something, a play that I was actually in the original cast of 20 years ago in Chicago called Of Grapes and Nuts. It's a Steinbeck parody that is absolutely drop-dead hysterical. Very, very funny play. Just beautiful, you know. One of the reviews put it very well. It was, you know, the play supplies the one thing that Steinbeck lacked, which was a sense of humor. And so we're very, very excited about that. And we just had our fundraiser recently. Michael, you were there.
I had
a fundraiser at the Decor Art Galleries over there on Ventura. And it was great. But I got to tell you, you know, you get to the point where... Did you ever have an event where... You went there and you thought you were accomplishing a certain look, and then you saw photos of the event and you went, what the hell was I thinking? That's what happened. I thought I was just the cat's meow. I was all, because I used to color my hair. I don't anymore. It's gray now. It's getting a little longer. I thought I was pulling off this Anthony Bourdain thing. And then I see the pictures that someone's posted on Facebook, and I'm like, okay, that's my elderly lesbian aunt. Because I don't know. I thought I was just so slick and salt and pepper, and it turns out I was Dame Edna, and it was really embarrassing. So anyway, that's a long-winded way to talk about the success of Seaglass. But thank you for asking, Michael.
Well,
and please,
absolutely. But let me add to that before we close out on the fundraising event. You are one of the few... legitimate theater companies, Los Angeles, that actually fundraise and can make a lot of money because of the amazing coordination between your company members and your board member and associate, Mr. James Denton from Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, we were happy to be successful, but you know, it's like you said, the bar is not set really that high for fundraising in LA. It's hard to do, and you know, we got what we got, but Bill, you know, it's not like we don't still need a lot more.
Well, certainly.
But no, we were very, very happy about that.
May I ask where your theater is?
I'm sorry, that was our up and coming guest who is going to be with us shortly, Ms. Carol Lawrence, who just asked me briefly where our theater is, and we are nomadic right now, Carol.
Okay.
We don't actually have a venue, but our next show will be at the Victory Theater Center in North Hollywood. In Burbank, at Victory and Hollywood Way there. Great little space. Thank you for asking. I would have forgotten that. No, thank you. Thank you for asking. But enough about me, Michael. You have not given your little bio, and I'm sure everyone is... they're probably more familiar with you than me, but
really?
Please...
That's very kind of you, Paul.
Please do tell.
You know, listen, I have been had a charmed life and started off very young in the theater and on the musical stage when I didn't even know I could sing or dance, and my parents didn't know that either. But I somehow found my way there professionally, and I started off doing a show called Bye Bye Birdie for years with Dick Van Dyke and Jerry Van Dyke and George Gobel and Sherry Lewis.
Oh,
and I kind of grew up on that stage, you know, touring with the show and segued into various other shows. So my life in theater, or my education in theater, came from the very people that I was working with.
Yes.
And as I grew older, I segued into television and motion pictures. And I always remembered one thing when I was acting on a set, and I used to work quite a bit at Universal Studios. I would be very impressed by the men that would come down from the big black tower at Universal in those black suits, and they would have some very important people that were standing on each side of them, and I would look past the camera at them, and I thought, there's got to be something about these guys that's pretty important. I think I want to be one of those suits as opposed to being on this side of the camera. And ultimately, that opportunity came actually through Universal Studios. And I segued into the art of public relations and founded, I went to work for a very, very large company, the largest PR company in the world called Rogers & Cowan, which Carol certainly knows that company.
Yes, very well. And they were marvelous. And so were you.
Oh, thank you so much. And of the many stars that I represented there, which was such a pleasure, and it gave me my footing in the PR business. And I then opened my own company in 1980 with a young man called Andy Gibb, the youngest brother of the Bee Gees, and he was at the height of his career, and also my dear friend to this day, David Brenner, and Steve Landisberg, the actor. That's how I started my company, and then I've had the pleasure of representing great stars through the years, and great theater, and great television specials, and great records, and very, very blessed. And more recently, one of my passions came true in 2006, and it came true in the form of beginning a nightclub, a supper club, a true supper club, where in Los Angeles, we don't have supper clubs
anymore. No, that's true. That's true.
Totally kind of passed us by, or at least we certainly didn't in 2006. They've been springing up since I opened Sterling's upstairs at Vitello's in Studio City, the wonderful restaurant of 40 years that's been there in the beautiful Tahunga Village. So Sterling's upstairs at Vitello's is completely dedicated to the best of performers performing Broadway music in the Great American Songbook, from true Broadway stars to the up-and-coming young Broadway people here in Los Angeles in our Broadway community to television stars, you name it, we've had them on the stage. And it's a joy going there every week and producing and presenting these people. And the crowds that are coming there are totally loving the fact that they can sit in a supper club.
You know, Michael, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just, I'm going to actually bring Carol's mic up a little early because I know she'll probably have some input on this, but I have probably attended, I think about half a dozen performers at Sterling's upstairs, and it is just a joy. You just go, and you really do feel just enveloped in that whole space. The mood that you've accomplished there, Michael, is really enviable. It's sort of like the hardest thing to accomplish is intimacy without, you know, it being stifled or claustrophobic, and it's just great. You feel it's sort of like the people. It's reminiscent of the like parlor performers from the, you know, when they would have it the earlier in the century when people would have a piano in their parlor and someone would come in and sing, and it really is a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Well, Carol, I loved it. I've only seen one show there, but I thought it was delicious, and I was sitting very close. You can almost have not a bad seat in the house, which is prime if you're going to, you know, go up and you have a wonderful dinner, and then you get to enjoy. Well, I grew up in nightclubs, and now supper clubs are taking over. I have to revamp my Vegas to accommodate a very small area, and it's difficult, but it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And live actors and performers, even in Vegas, at the Persian, all of those wonderful rooms, the Empire Room in Chicago, you were able at one time to do a circuit of them, and you had this wonderful act that cost lots of money, but you amortized it,
right.
And it got better as you did it with an audience.
Right.
They always polish it, and Fanny Bryce always said, you are only half of the performance, and they are the rest of the Stradivarius.
Wonderful phrase.
Only because I'm Italian have I spilled all of my water all over it. But it's refreshing and cool, and I'm enjoying every bit. But Fanny was right, and the delicious part about the live thing at Vitello's is that you know there are no cameras.
Right.
There's, you know, this performance belongs to you and the performer, and can never be replicated.
Yeah.
Nor do we want to.
What
so
happens?
It's a precious entity.
Right. What happens in that that room belongs only to those people. And
exactly.
you have an anniversary coming up, Michael. Don't
oh,
you?
Oh, do you?
We do in June.
What is it?
June 9th.
Yeah.
Technically, is 4 years.
How wonderful!
Can you imagine?
Congratulations,
4 years. Thank
Michael.
You.
That's
Thank
great.
Thank you. And we
That's
have wonderful
lovely.
Stars coming in. A. McByron, Broadway star.
I did MAME with him. He was my beau.
He was.
And he was magnificent.
Well, you must come see him.
I will. What date is it?
June 6th.
Oh, I will
he
be in New York.
June 6th.
I will be in New York.
I will tell him that you...
The next time he comes.
Absolutely.
Please let me know. I love him. He's brilliant.
And from the younger generation of Broadway stars, on the 12th of June, we have Matt Zarley from A Chorus Line.
Okay.
And Chicago and Kiss of the Spider Woman. Which
yes,
you did,
I did
course.
On Broadway.
Oh, my gosh.
And what fun.
Yes, absolutely. And go on with a lineup through June and on into the rest of the year. So I couldn't be happier. Paul Strolli has headlined my club.
I have. Not
and you sing?
Not as a singer.
No, I had I have a one-person show that I toured with on and off for about 10 years called Straight Up With a Twist. And
oh, I love
about
it.
The straight guy that is pretty... has all the predilections of a gay guy, knows fashion and cooking and all that. It predates the whole metrosexual
gotcha.
Thing.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
It met with some success, and Michael was nice enough to have me there. And one of the early, it was the first year, wasn't it? First few months.
Yes.
So, no, it's a wonderful place, and I've always enjoyed it. And Michael, congratulations on your
yes.
4-year anniversary.
Thank you.
I want to present our live arts calendar at this point before we start talking to Carol full out, because I'm very excited to talk to her, as I'm sure Michael is. But we do have a number of these productions that we want to call attention to on our live arts calendar, the first of which is the East-West Players hit Road to Saigon, which features the leading ladies of Miss Saigon as they share music and memories of their journeys to this epic production. It's a fantastic show, Miss Saigon, and that is playing now through June 13th.
Yes, and one of L.A.'s longest-running hits, Life Could Be a Dream, continues through June 20th at the Hudson Theater in Hollywood. This 60s doo-wop musical will leave you laughing and cheering four more. Believe me, folks, go see this. It's been here almost a year. I've seen it 3 times.
Wow.
You've seen it 3 times?
Yes.
You need a hobby.
I do. I need a life.
The Loft Ensemble's Tracers, now through June 27th at the L.A.'s Downtown Fringe Theater, tracks the surreal journey of 6 enlisted men through the Vietnam experience and its after effects. And just as a side note, I want to say, in this particular production of Tracers is an actor who's a friend of mine named Tucker Smallwood, who is a Vietnam vet himself and wrote a wonderful, very interesting book. It's basically a compilation of 33 essays called Return to Eden, which is on Amazon.com. And with it being Memorial Day, we really want to call attention to things of this nature. And it's a great read, and I'm sure it's a phenomenal production. I've seen Tracers before, and I'm really looking forward to seeing this
And I think
production.
We'll be reviewing that, perhaps.
I believe we will be, yes.
Which brings us to the New York's Lincoln Center production of South Pacific, which is docked at the Amundsen Theater through July 17th.
I have to see that
You
one.
Must see this.
I hear it's just fantastic.
Yes, Michael said it's
a
really
marvelous
great.
Well, renovation of the original.
It's a 7-time 2008 Tony Award-winning rejuvenated classic.
Exactly.
Rodgers and Hammerstein at their very best.
Mm-hmm.
And it officially opens, it's in previews right now, but it officially opens June 2nd. And Paul will be going to see it on that evening, the opening. We'll be doing a review of it since we've both seen it, but we'll be doing it after the opening on June
wonderful.
2nd.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. What else? Wartime Scandal, Family Intrigue, and Shocking Secrets. Don't miss Arthur Miller's award-winning play All My Sons, which is opening this weekend, June 5th through July 25th at North Hollywood's Raven Playhouse.
Wednesday night at the home of Michelle Larry, a reading of the play Desire Caught by the Tail by the painter Pablo Picasso. That's the title. What I just said.
That whole thing?
That whole thing.
It wasn't written by Picasso.
No.
It's just the title.
It is the title. It's a wonderful project. It has its world premiere June 10th through July 24th at LA's Bootleg Theater. And for further details, ladies and gentlemen, and ticket information on all of the productions listed on our arts calendar this week, please visit stateoftheartsla.com for all of that wonderful information. Go out and support the theater and see it as often as you can.
And that'll have active links to their box office
yes,
and
absolutely.
Websites. Yes. Okay, do we get to talk to Carol now?
We get to talk to Carol very soon, but I do want to mention one other thing before we get into Carol, because this is important, and a very dear friend of mine, this kind of reverts a little bit back to Sterling's Upstairs, his name is Daniel Tater, and he's one of the young Broadway forces out here in Los Angeles, is a wonderful singer. He also was one of the co-stars of the original company of Life Could Be a Dream. And you know how in the arts, if there's something to be taken care of or there's somebody to be taken care of, which is exactly what you're going to be doing in New York, actually, soon, you know, it it happens.
Yes.
Sort of magically and wonderfully without too much strain.
Right.
And Daniel Tater, out of his kindness, has organized a benefit to assist a very dear friend of his, Anna Adam. And she is a musical theater fan who, since February, has been undergoing a very difficult battle with late-stage lymphoma. As a result, the treatments have been very expensive. They've been very intensive,
right,
keeping Anna away from her son, her family, her friends, and her work. And as a result, Daniel Tater is producing what will be an extraordinary gathering of Broadway and television talent to raise funds to help cover her medical expenses.
That's great.
That's wonderful.
So Monday, ladies and gentlemen, June 7th at Pasadena's Boston Court Theater, it's your chance to participate in Angels for Anna. It's a cabaret featuring such great stars as Anna Ortiz from the TV hit series Ugly Betty, Megan Hilty, star of Wicked and 9 to 5 in Los Angeles and on Broadway, prolific Tony Award-winning composer Jason Robert Brown and Georgia Stitt, his wife, Susan Egan, the original Belle in Broadway's Beauty and the Beast, and so many others. So please, again, go to our website and you will find out more about this, because you'll not only be helping Anna, you will be raising awareness as to how people like you, supporters of the arts, recognize that whenever we can and to the extent of which we can, we must all help one another.
It's a great cause.
God bless you, Anna. God bless you, Daniel, for putting together what will surely be a spectacular one night only event. And once again, visit that website. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are in greatness. Yes, we are. We are in greatness, and this lady is truly, I mean, you know, let me preface it by this, Paul.
Yeah.
This, as we move into the Tony Awards period, which is on June 13th.
Yes.
We have Broadway seeing wonderful actors that are from other mediums.
Yes, we primarily film and television. If you look at the nominees now, what do we have? We have Jude Law, who's up for Hamlet.
That's right. We have Christopher Walken in for a Behanding and Spoken.
Denzel Washington for Fences.
Right. Valerie Harper, the amazing Valerie Harper, for Looped.
And Kelsey Grammer for La Cage aux Folles.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But this is my question. Will these people from television and film, will they become an icon with the body of work they're presenting on Broadway, such as our guest?
Oh, good segue. Good segue, Sterling.
He is smooth, isn't he? Yes.
Isn't he?
Yes.
I don't know. She's a Tony Award nominee. She's a Grammy nominee. She's an icon in the theater, having created one of the most beautiful roles in one of the most extraordinary shows that Broadway has ever seen. She created the role of Maria in West Side Story. Does it get any better than that? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Carol Lawrence.
Hello, everybody. Hello, I've been sitting here just biting my tongue, not being able to laugh at you because you guys are so funny, and you killed my mic. So I was laughing in the wings, sort of. But you are wonderful, and I wish you the best of success on this fabulous idea for a show. And I will be listening to you, of course, on my computer. I didn't know that was possible. Oh. I'm so late coming into the world of electronic magic. But my son builds computers, and he keeps dragging me in, and I love it.
But I tell you, you would never know that you were late coming to it, because I saw your website, and for those of you, we want to definitely get that out there, because it's wonderful. It's carollawrence.com.
Exactly.
And if you look at it, the famous, iconic shot from the beginning of, from the
Playbill, the album and the posters.
Of the album and the poster. Of Maria running down
with Tony,
running down 56th Street.
Exactly.
With the hand
forward. What a memory
forward.
You have, yes.
I saw your website. And
all right. Yes.
But then the beauty of it is that you then crossfade it with a photo of you and, is it Larry Kurt?
No, we lost Larry, but Grover Dale was also in West Side Story.
Okay.
The dear friend, and we were going to the opening night of the revival of West Side Story, and it's 53 years later.
Wow.
Could you believe it? And so we went, and I said, Grover, you gotta go with me, because I think it would be great if I went to the producer of the new West Side Story. I didn't get a ticket, and I didn't think I could make it, but then at the very last minute, I wanted to go and to get a ticket a few days before the opening of West Side Story. And I was on the aisle, the 8th row center, all that wonderful stuff. So I said, I have to do something for him. And I said, if you and I went and we were running down 56th Street where the garbage cans were.
Right.
Because that's why I know it's 56th, because the address is on the album. Okay. So he said, oh, I'm much too busy to go. My wonderful friend Grover, whom I adore. And he was too busy. But it took me all night, and I convinced him. And we came in, well, the day of the show that it opened, it began to pour rain. Now, I have a cameraman. I have, you know, everybody lined up for wardrobe and everything. And to run down the street, first of all, we had no permission to do this, but we are running down and it's pouring rain. You can't see it in the picture, which is really, that's the way we shot the last scene of A View from the Bridge with Sidney Lumet and Ralph Alone, you know, the movie with Maureen Stapleton, and he's killing himself in the rain with that hook, the stevedore's hook.
Yeah.
And my hair was long and black at the time, and it just kept getting longer and straighter and longer, and the chiffon wedding dress kept getting clingier and clingier. And I can see it in the scene, but we went to the place to do In View of the Bridge. It's called A View from the Bridge, the film, the Arthur Miller play. Yeah. And Sidney was very much at ease. We're all saying, Sidney, it's our last day in town. We can't get this sight again. You know, we leave tomorrow for Paris. And he said, it's fine. I love Sidney. And he said, you'll never see it. I mean, we were drenched. And you never saw it.
And you can't see it.
You can't see the rain. Well, the camera doesn't register.
And you're saying that in the shot...
In the shot on my website, we were in pouring rain.
Oh, no.
And it's wonderful. It's exhilarating, and we were happy doing it. And when I handed it to the producer, and we had to have it made to bring to the show by 7:30, right? So the poor lady who developed it all was going nuts. I do those Italian things on the spur of the moment. Drive people nuts. But if you could see the look on his face when I had, and it's in color, and it's pretty much the same pose we were running.
Yeah, and, very, very close.
And so I thought it would be interesting on my website to bring people, because the photo originally was iconic, and it was what identified West Side Story, was the two of us happily running through the streets.
Yeah.
And it was reproduced today, 53 years later, and the show has the same impact as well.
I'm trying to think, and I don't know if you could, Michael, but I am trying to think. As Carol's talking, I'm thinking about productions of that time when we mentioned South Pacific earlier.
Right, yes.
And I'm trying to think of a Broadway show that is so attached to a single photographic image. Mm-hmm. And I think the West Side Story just has it nailed with that shot, because it is pure joy.
It
is just running, and the way that he's getting pulled, and it's really, really beautiful. I always had a special place in my heart for West Side Story, because it's
Thank
the first
you.
Play that I ever did.
Honest to goodness.
And I was Maria. I went to a very progressive high school. And,
No,
I was Tony, actually. I was Tony.
You were Tony.
I was Tony when I was in high school.
I can't tell you how many people have played. I go to any number of, you know, places, and they say, oh, I played in high school, you know. And I went once to a juvenile delinquency, to the jail, because these nuns said, oh, would you go and just talk to them about West Side Story and bring them some cupcakes? I said, are they going to let you have that sugar rush? And then jail. And I brought it, and I said, how am I going to introduce myself as Maria, these young 12-year-olds? I mean, they're young.
Juvie Hall.
And they're 12, and they're murderers, and they look like babies. And so I said, I'll begin with Officer Krupke, because they'll all identify with that one. And I put on Officer Krupke, Krupp you, and they were all laughing and having a wonder. The guards hated it. They said, how dare you bring that in here? And they each came up to me and said, I played Chino, and I played Riff. All of these kids had, it is truly the perfect play for any young group of people, because they're all absolutely right, and they're the right age, and they know all the emotions. I just think I'm so blessed to have been a part of the show that I thank God all the time.
Wow.
Well, you know, and Carol's getting ready to do something quite wonderful in New York, actually. She's going to You're going there very soon.
I leave. I red eye in on the 2nd of June, and on the 7th, I go into rehearsal for a dance that will pay tribute to Fred Astaire at the annual salute. It's the Fred Astaire Foundation, and Mrs. Astaire will be there. And I can tell you the first number because Leroy Reams is the director of it and has been for years, and he's the last of the song and dance men on Broadway. But he did the original Juvenile in 42nd Street. He was the tap dancer.
His picture is on your website too,
he
right?
He is.
Okay.
He is, because I adore him, and I have wanted to do an act with him for about 16 years when I couldn't have the boys in my act, you know, because the nightclub sort of disappeared, and I said, I just need to either go alone or at least have somebody to dance with. And I said, Leroy, wouldn't you like to do something with me? And he said, well, yes, I've been dancing with you for years and years on television, but I don't think I could survive. Your energy level is just too on a stage. I'm afraid nobody would see me. And I said, oh, Leroy, you're just being too humble, and you know, you just don't want to do it, Leroy. And so we have since then gotten together for an act, and we did it at Ravinia last year, and we did it twice on the Regency cruise of Theater at Sea. Do you know the one that Theater Guild has been doing for many, many years?
Yeah. That's the one where they go, and it's almost like a theater intensive. Where
exactly.
A lot of yes.
And
okay.
You go, there's a company, maybe seven people who have been on Broadway and in the Theater Guild productions, and Philip Langner, whose father began it almost like 70 years ago, and they do a historic lectures. People come on. Pat Neal comes on, and Ed Asner was on with me, Carol Channing, and Donna McKechnie,
wow.
Leroy, and we all get up and do things together, and so you perform maybe 5 shows in the week.
But you get to be on a cruise.
And you get to be on a cruise, and then one night belongs to you, and I did my nightclub act, in which I brought 6 men up out of the audience. This is in my nightclub act, of course. And I give them top hats and canes. Because when I lost my boys, I said, Tony Charmley, who choreographed my act, I said, people expect me to dance, and I'm not happy if I'm not dancing. So what can we do to dance? He said, well, Carol, I said, well, why don't we get 6 guys up out of the house? Got to have 6 guys in the house that would come up and dance with me. He said, no, 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 1 or 2. I said, no, 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 they have to lift me up at the end and carry me off. What is this? So I give them top hats, literally, Paul, and canes. And I memorized their names.
Why did she look at me when she said canes?
I don't know, no, because I didn't want to not pay any attention.
We give them top.
They're right and left of me, so I don't want to just play to one man here. And they do a number with me. I teach them. One of the steps is tapping the cane on the floor. You can do that. Swaying to the right and the left. Walking 4 steps right, 4 steps left. So by the end of the teaching episode, they say, I can cut this. I'm going to be a dancer in showbiz. So then I say, now put your canes down, honey, because you're all going to pick me up and carry me off. Now that's when the blood drains from their faces and they say, we're going to... But they're so used to reality television now, where everybody is bouncing off of balls and flying up, you know, that... What is it, Wipeout?
Mm-hmm.
How do they live through that show? But everybody is game for doing anything.
Now, why did she look at me when she said bouncing off balls? That's what I
won't even touch.
She looks at you on cane.
On cane, no. But I would love to try that show. Because they did one 100 years ago that Bob Banner did, called Anything Goes. Do you remember that?
No.
Yes.
Almost Anything Goes.
Yes.
And I was on, like, Rosie Greer's shoulders trying to shoot basketballs. They were these celebrities trying to cross over a Vaseline log, and I fell off, and everybody laughed. I mean, I love that kind of nonsense. I should have been a clown.
I actually did that at Sterling's Upstairs at Botello's. The Vaseline
the
thing
Vaseline
and the basketball
log?
On Rosie
Greer's right.
Something similar.
But
yes.
They would set
Don't
up
start
in...
with me, Paul.
impossible quests, and they would have had normal people who had practiced it without the Vaseline, and they'd pit them against the celebrities, and guess who always won? Mr. John Q. Public, and
of
they
course.
Were adorable. We went all over
that's
doing
hysterical.
It was great fun. Didn't last very long. I was so bruised. I mean, I cannot tell you.
See, but it just goes to show, though, that there's nothing new under the sun. You talk about these reality shows. I mean, they're Truth or Consequences, or they're this show. You know, it's just reharvested and repackaged, and it was funnier the first time.
In most cases, absolutely. Carol, I want to talk about something that we're going to go back to West Side Story.
Okay.
You told me a beautiful story.
Yes.
Our advance pre-interview with you about this, the gentleman that played Bernardo.
Yes.
With you on Broadway and West Side Story.
And yes. George Marcy.
Please tell us about what you're doing for George.
Yes. George Marcy replaced, he was the understudy for Bernardo. He is also a song and dance man. And I have to tell you, I'm proud to say, and he is, he's 83. And he's doing a one-man show. Well, in West Side Story, the original, Kenny Leroy, who played the original, and Cheetah, and a few of the others, went to London halfway through our run, and I was asked to go, but my wonderful Italian husband, who will remain nameless, said, no. So I couldn't go. I mean, you didn't oppose any patriarchal Italian husband. And Cheetah went, and so George became my brother. In the rumble, you know, where everybody's killing each other, George had to fight Riff, and there's one flying leap that Riff wraps his legs around George's waist in midair and tackles him to the ground. That's choreography that they've done forever. But George, in running to Riff, caught his foot in the track of the sets. They're like railroad tracks, right, but they're a little bit smaller, so he got his foot caught in it. His foot remained facing forward, and when he was tackled, his whole body went completely the other way, and spiral broke his tibia so that it shattered, and this is going to sound horrible, but on radio it won't look so bad. The bone went through his Levi's, and the blood was everywhere.
Oh.
And he said, I turned my back to the audience so they couldn't see how much pain I was in, and he said, somebody help me, I broke my leg. Well, you could see he had broken his leg, and nobody would touch him. They became a tableau because they were so afraid that Jerry Robbins would kill them if they did anything that wasn't the original choreography.
Oh my gosh.
He wasn't meant to be down. He wasn't meant to be dead. And he said, he kept saying, please, somebody help me. Finally, he said, yelled, somebody help me, I broke my bleeping leg, but loud. And the curtain just slowly fell.
Whoa.
And they took him, of course, and called an ambulance. And when I was writing my book, I wanted to make sure I got the right leg and the right bone, because I thought it was his femur, his thigh bone. It was his shin bone. And so I called him. He was in Vegas. It became a computer genius. And I said, George, he said, who is this? I said, it's Carol Lawrence. Carol who? I said, George, get off it. Just, you know, don't give me that garbage. You know who I am. Yeah, he had to tease me because we were so close. We were like trench buddies in the First World War. And I said, which leg? It was my right. And he explained the whole story. And he said, and as they were carrying me off, he was very proud of this, I'm on the gurney. They've shot my leg full of morphine. I'm feeling nothing, honey. And he said, I looked up, all those faces there in anguish looking at me because they had really almost killed me. And I said, do nothing till you hear from me. And I said, George, you did not do that. And he said, well, you ask them. And I did, and that's what he did. And that is my George Marcy favorite story, because it is so typical of his reaction, his attitude. And today he is doing a one-man show, which I saw him do about 6 months ago at Don't Tell Mama, which is a cabaret, very famous on 46th Street. Cheetah and I were sitting next to each other, and we both love him so much. And so he is now, he's got an agent and he wants to go on tour, and I am going to introduce his show on the 9th of June to a backers audition at Don't Tell Mama's, and I'm going to film it, and I'm going to be the first one to write a check because I absolutely adore him. He tells his life story that is, and I don't even want to give it away, except that it has you laughing and crying and laughing again and then crying, and it's and he's so full of life and love of his art. He said, I don't care if I make a penny on it. I'm just doing what I promised myself I would do. I would get back on my leg, And I would dance. And he is. I choreographed his tap.
83 years old.
83.
Oh,
is that gorgeous?
Astounding.
That's
now, you know what?
I love him.
And what a wonderful story.
And it's the 9th of June if you want to come and see it.
And will the information be on your website?
Yes, of course it will. Of course it will.
That's carollawrence.com.
Don't Tell Mama's website as well. So.
Exactly.
Carol,
you can come and see me.
You said something that made me think of something else, and we have just a few minutes left.
Okay.
I mean, this is a woman, ladies and gentlemen, that after West Side Story went on to do Saratoga, Subways Are for Sleeping, Nightlife, I Do, Kiss of the Spider Woman. I can only imagine how extraordinary you were.
Oh, I loved doing that, yes.
Funny Girl, of course, Unsinkable Molly Brown, The Sound of Music, you name it, she's done it. And you also did something recently that hopefully will be returning to New York.
We are working
on Los Angeles.
Yes, at the El Portal.
The Girls' Room with Donna McKechnie.
Exactly, exactly. It's a wonderful three-character play.
That was at the El Portal recently, right?
Exactly.
Last year. A couple
years
ago.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, was it 2 years ago?
It's 2 years October.
Oh, okay.
It will
with Donna McKechnie.
With Donna, and we're doing a backers audition for that as well. And when we get Donna back, Donna is the original gypsy dancer. And whatever job is out there, oh, okay, she's the sweetest, darlingest person. I adore her. And she was the Tony winner for Chorus Line.
She was the first Cassie.
She was Cassie.
First
one. And the two of us do a dance in Girls' Room that is a challenge. I play her mother, believe it or not. She said, you're 7 years older than I am. But on stage, you know, you can be as young. You can have them in vitro when you're a baby and you can have another baby going. So that's what I figured we did. And I adore working with her. And we do this wonderful thing to Bette Midler's Bugle Boy. You know,
oh, right.
And we just stopped the show cold because the two of us, as mother and daughter, are competing in the dance world.
Oh.
Yeah. It's all about dancers.
Oh, okay.
It's all about dancers. And my granddaughter, who is, of course, Donna's daughter, has broken her knee 2 days before her debut of the ballet that was built for her, skiing.
Okay.
And she doesn't ski. So the intrigue and the dysfunction is unbelievable. But everyone that saw it in New York, we did it at the Manhattan Theater in the park or something, women would come back and say, how did you know what my sister and I went through? You are my mother. And it was just wonderful.
Well, that's the mark of when you know a show is going to be successful.
Yes.
If the people can identify, you know,
they have to.
That's my sister, that's my mother, or that's me. More often than not, you ever notice they never notice themselves up there. They always notice someone else in their family who drives them crazy.
Yes, and they're usually the villain.
Yeah.
They are the villain. Yes, not I. No.
No.
I never meant to be anything but good.
Carol Lawrence, last question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Last subject. She's getting ready, Paul, to do another video, a dance video, a dance exercise.
I did one already.
Yes, I know you did.
That was called Carol Lawrence's Broadway Body Workout. And we did it I taught people to dance Broadway dance. We did MAME, 76 trombones, one singular sensation, all of those things, with only boys behind me and with a live orchestra, not that, you know, drum beat.
You did a fitness video with a live orchestra?
That's right. She doesn't mess around. What do you expect?
There were only 8 pieces. It wasn't, you know, a symphony orchestra.
No, but it's not. It's also not a CD playing is the other thing, too, with the piped-in music. I mean, it's real music.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Are we cutting? 2 minutes.
We're getting close by.
Yeah, close. Yes.
And I have to tell you that this one will teach you to tap dance, which is how I started in this business. They put those little patent leather shoes on my feet, and my mother, everybody else had black ribbons. What were mine? Red. And so I walked out on the floor, and I made bing, bing. You know, you make noise. So you figure, hey, I'm a tap dancer. I did it. And from then on, I have never taken the shoes off. I just don't. So I'm going to teach you and Michael. You'll be in my video.
Come in my video. Bring your cane, Michael.
Bring your top.
No canes, but only fun and health.
Carol Lawrence, you are amazing.
I am not.
You are.
Thank you so much.
I'm
gorgeous, and you're interesting.
And
you're
stunning.
Everything that a woman should be.
Thank you, Michael.
Absolutely. What a thrill for us to have you be our first guest on our first show, going around the world as we speak. Thank you.
We are so grateful, Carol.
I'm tremendously honored. I really am. Thank you.
We're very, very grateful to have you on. We have to wrap it up. I just want to mention a couple of more things.
Go.
June 7th, we have Carol Channing with us. June 14th, we have the executive director of LA Stage Alliance, Terrence McFarland, is with us. June 21st, we have Florence Henderson, which is, I'm very excited about that because I was all over, big crush on her during the Brady Bunch days. And on June 28th, we have Tom Viola, the executive director of, as Michael mentioned, Broadway Cares and Equity Fights AIDS. Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul, for everything. Thank you, Carol, once again.
My pleasure.
What a joy. And to all of you who have listened to us, have a wonderful holiday today. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.